have your Bibles this morning. I want to draw your attention to a concept that affects all of us today. And it will continue to affect us until the Lord calls us home. There are conflicts happen with people. When one person believes this, and another person believes this, conflict happens. Happens between brothers and sisters. It happens. And in this passage, you're going to see it happened in the hearts of men. And Paul was in the city of Athens. You'll notice in verse 15, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. Well, he walked into Athens and he saw all of these various gods made out of wood, made out of stone, made out of gold and silver. And it was to the moon god, to the sun god. It was to all these different gods. And he was overwhelmed. And he said, look, I've got to tell these folks. And so this word disputed with them. He's trying to get them to understand there is one true God. And they're looking at all of these various gods. And the Greeks were very knowledgeable. They sometimes just spent, well, notice if you would, look at verse 21. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. So they didn't have television. They didn't have video games. They didn't have all the things that we have today, radio, to take our attention away. They just got to Mars Hill and somebody come up and say, well, I heard this. Well, I heard this is what we should do. Somebody else would say, well, I heard this new medical breakthrough. When somebody gets sick, you bleed them. You bleed all the infection out. And so there are all these new things. And then they would say, I heard about a new god. I just got back from and name a country. And they had this god. So they'd put that god up. So Paul walks into the city. And notice, if you would, in verse number 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Obviously, they didn't believe a word he was saying. It's something new. And yet, the whole world has been planned by the God of heaven. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the plan of God was to redeem Adam and Eve and all of mankind. It was his master plan. But mankind has always wanted to worship someone or something other than God. So there's a conflict. There's a conflict in the heart of man. And the conflict is, well, if I get baptized, I think I'll go to heaven. If I do good, I think I'll go to heaven. If I worship all the gods that I notice, and then maybe that will get me to heaven because one of them would be right. So there was a conflict, and Paul walks up and says something. Wait a minute. Now notice, if you would, I want you to just read with me and follow along. Verse 23. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. You're trying to worship all the gods of the world. And so if you forgot one, you had an idol named the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I'm going to tell you about this unknown God because he's not the moon god and the sun god, and he's not, and he went down the list of all these. You'll notice, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Now, notice if you would, down in verse number 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, In other words, if we're made in the image of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. He said, look, if we're made in the image of God, as it says in Genesis 2, he said, look, we ought not to think that God is a gold idol, or that he is a silver trinket, or that he is, and he goes down and lists these things. He said, we're made in his image. So notice, if you would, in verse number 30, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at. He just kind of closed his eyes to the foolishness of worshiping idols. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That was something new. That was created a conflict. You want me to repent? You want me to say I was wrong about something? No way. So follow verse 31. Why does he want every man to repent? Why is there a conflict on Mars Hill there in Athens? Because men do not want to repent. They do not want to say, I'm sorry. They do not want to admit, I offended a holy God. I have committed things that he doesn't want me to do called sin. So there's a conflict. If you just apologize, ask the Lord to forgive you, he'll save you and take you to heaven. I don't want to do that. I want to worship this God. I don't believe that. Now, a conflict. How does it get settled? Well, keep reading. He explains why that need to repent. Now, today the same conflict is going on. And maybe you're here today and your heart is conflicted. You want to go to heaven, but you're not sure exactly how to get there. You've been taught this and you've been taught that. Maybe you grew up in a home that worshiped not an idol, but told you that you got to heaven by doing a sacrament or by getting baptized or by whatever, giving money or going to church or reading your Bible. All things that we could do that are okay if they're done for the right reason, but they don't get you to heaven. He said, look, I want you to understand God commands everybody in this room to repent of your sin. Now notice what he says, because, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day. You know what he's trying to tell you? Judgment day is coming for everybody. The great white throne is coming. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20, verse 11. Notice, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ. You see, everybody at this point had heard about Jesus Christ. Whenever the statement was made in this same chapter, it was made in verse 6, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Everybody had heard of Jesus. They heard he died on the cross, and they heard he was in the grave 3 days, and he rose again. I don't believe that. But they weren't there when Lazarus was raised. They weren't there when Jairus' daughter was raised. You see, there's a conflict. And how do you resolve it? Well, the spiritual conflict here is resolved one way. Notice, if you would, in verse number 31 of Acts 17, he says this, whereof, in the middle of the verse, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, contention. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. Some said, let's talk about it another time. And some said, look at verse 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. So Dionysius believed what he said and trusted Christ. He said, I want to ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin. How can I do that? And so Paul led him to Christ. He trusted Christ as Savior. Now, you're here today, there's an issue. There's a conflict. And the Bible says God's got a book in heaven with all of our sin written in it. And you can't get to heaven, nor I, till that book is paid for. Until you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, He'll blot out the words in that book and write your name down in the book of life, and you will not stand before this day of judgment that He's appointed. But you have a choice. You don't have to say, I'm sorry for my sin. You don't have to trust Christ. You can say today, you know, Pastor, there's a lot of people here. I think I'll come back another day. They did that. Only one or a few said, I believe. I want to trust Christ. And then others, they made fun. They said, the resurrection. You know, how many of you have ever seen somebody raised from the dead? I haven't. By faith, I see Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Abraham, by faith, said, I believe one is coming that's going to pay our debt of sin, that's going to rise from the dead. And by faith, now we look backwards and say, I believe Jesus did come. Both ways, it's by faith. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ this morning? Have you believed? Notice, if you would, in verse number 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. So there were a few people that trusted Christ. And did you know what? In a world of 8-9 billion people, a few have trusted Christ. If you've trusted Christ, the conflict is settled. You're on your way to heaven. It's what Jesus did for you. Now, He looks at all of us that have trusted Christ as Savior and said, now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to love me more than you do anything in this world. And every day I want you to love me more. The greatest command in Scripture is love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. That's what He wants from us. Now, what that does is it settles a lot of issues. Now, I want to take just a minute. In Luke chapter 15, two brothers. And these happened to be Jewish people, far as we know. One brother went up and said, by Jewish law, I would like to have my inheritance now. He took it out and wasted it the riotous living. And his brother stayed with the father. And then one day, the younger brother that had wasted his substance with riotous living, he had mistreated his dad, disrespected his dad. He had mocked his dad, gone, taken away half his dad's money and his inheritance and wasted it. And he realized in the pig pen when he almost starved to death, he says, I've messed up. There's a conflict in his heart. I didn't treat dad right. I didn't treat my brothers right, my mother right. I got to go make it right. So first, every time you and I sin, we have offended and hurt the heart of God. So the first thing we have to do to get resolution is we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? The way we resolve issues is almost always with an apology. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, if there's not a great peace between you and your mate, between you and a brother or you and a sister, then somebody needs to make an apology and somebody needs to accept apology and forgive. In the great resolution, Lord, I'm sorry. And Jesus says, I forgive you. And it's done. It's a little harder for you and I because we're not God. It's harder to apologize. It's harder to forgive. But it's God's plan for resolving issues. It's God's plan for making a sweet marriage, making a sweet home. If you would turn your book back, your Bible back to chapter 15, I want you to notice, if you would, Acts chapter 15, you're going to see that conflict can come between anybody. How many of you ever heard of Paul and Barnabas? How many ever heard of Paul and Barnabas? Two of the greatest missionaries to ever live. Well, they had a dispute. It was about John Mark. Now, I want you to see how the dispute started and how it ended up, just very quickly. I want you to understand this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Let's go back and see how the churches are doing that we've planted. And Barnabas, here it is, determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, maybe you know this, but John Mark had quit the ministry and gone back home. We have no idea why. Could be he was afraid, but he quit and went back home. And Paul, being the soldier that he was, looked at Barnabas and says, he's not going. And Barnabas noticed the thing. And Barnabas was a gentleman, a gracious man. Notice what he does in verse 37. And Barnabas determined. One thing you and I cannot do if we want to solve a problem, if we want to get a resolution, you can't make up your mind and stick your foot in the ground. You can't settle things with your neighbor by putting your foot in the ground. I know I'll do that, but I'm not doing this. We lay everything on the table. You can't get to heaven. Lord, I'll go to church. I'll do this, but I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not going to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I'll get baptized. I'll give money, but I'm not going to humble myself and say, I'm sorry, Lord, would you forgive me? I will not do it. And so Judas died and went to hell. I will not. Barnabas, with the wrong attitude, looks at Paul and says, he's going. Anybody ever done that? Your man? You and somebody else? I'm not going to do that. You're going to do this. You can't make predeterminations. Well, notice in verse number 38, and Paul thought it not good to take him with them who departed from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them. Two of the greatest Christians to ever live are in an argument and they can't settle it. Because one says, he's going. The other one said, he's not going. And it took almost 8 years before it got settled. Now, it may have been settled earlier, but about 8 years later, Paul writes and says, would you send John Mark to me? He's profitable to me for the ministry. Things got settled. Because eventually, godly people will get it settled if you listen to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's going to say to Janet, you need to apologize or you need to forgive. When pastor says he's sorry, you got to forgive him. No matter, you got to forgive him. Joe De La Cruz, whenever Lori does something, you've got to forgive. Now, it's not Lori that does it. It's him. But Joe goes to his wife and says, I'm sorry. Well, number one, that's not easy to do. But number two, the wife looks at him and says, this is the 36th time you've done it. How many of you keep a list? How many of you, it's hard to forgive? If Jesus kept a list, none of us would get to heaven. Conflict resolution. These people in Athens, most of them died, went to hell because they said, I don't believe what you're saying. I'm not going to repent of my sin. I'll just keep working in that rock right there. And we might look at it and say, that's crazy. It happens with millions of people around this world today. It's not crazy. Sometimes it's ignorance. You heard it here. It's ignorance. And that's why we want to send out missionaries to help people understand. But this conflict got settled between Paul and Barnabas. But it took a while. One of them had to pull his foot out of it and say, okay, let me think about this. The other had to say, well, maybe Mark has grown a little bit. Let me think about this. Everybody in this room is involved with conflicts in your life on a normal basis. Regularly. Somebody at work. Yesterday. They're doing some work across the street. they are building some townhomes across the street, and they've got all of the lumber in the street. And how many of you know what that black silt fence is around there? How many know what the black silt fence is around? It's required by Environmental Code of Loudoun County. It's required by that all over the state. Well, there's a fence right in front of those homes coming down to the curb, and they're just driving right over it like it doesn't even exist. And I'm going, I haven't said anything. And then there's mud all over the street. So when I go into my garage, you track mud into your garage. So I'm cleaning out my garage, and these guys are driving these forklifts, not even paying attention. And so I noticed down the street, they're backing over the curb and putting divots in all the yard stuff. Now, Pastor Pittman has got a sweet heart. Never gets upset about anything, hardly. And this guy is driving. Now, keep in mind, he's backing a forklift over the curb, and he could hit people on the sidewalk. He's not paying attention at all. The Lord knows just how to get us when we're ready to preach something. Brandon, stop laughing. So, how many of you know I like my yard to look nice? I really work at it. I mean, I spend a lot of money on it, a lot of time on it. I like it to look real nice. My son, when he was in the fourth grade in Texas, I built a house and I put a putting green in the front yard. I mean, it's called Bermuda 419. It's that thin grass. I had a real mower, and I'd real mow my yard, and there was clippings, and you could brush the clippings off. You could put them in my front yard. Now, some people did that in Texas. I loved it. No weeds got in. And when I had my neck surgery, my son went out there, and my wife asked him to mow my yard, and he mowed his name in my yard in cursive. And he was so proud of himself. And I had on a neck brace, and it took me, I don't know how long, just to not break my neck brace to go after him. What are you thinking, son? And he's in the third grade. Dad, look at my name. I went. So I've got my yard. It's all sodded. This guy, I don't know why, but I just looked out my office looking out there, and I see this guy with a forklift get some sheetrock, put it up, and start backing up. And I said, he's not. And he backed into my front yard. Put ruts that deep in it. You know what I did? I opened the door, ran out there, said, hey, stop. You're in my yard. This is what he did. He went. I think about Paul and Barnabas. He can't do that to me. I'm busy, mister. Get out of my face. Lord, I'm supposed to preach on conflict resolution tomorrow, and you have some guy drive his forklift in my yard. You know what the Lord does? I'm here to tell you this. It happens to all of us. We have to learn how to deal with things in a way that honors the Lord. And so, there were 10 brothers. Their brother was loved very much by his father. And so he got him a beautiful coat of many colors and put it on him, so he was so proud of him. And it created jealousy in their hearts. And they got to where every time they saw him wearing that coat, they hated him. And one day they saw him coming down of no fault of his own. He's got on his coat. That's what he had to wear when it was cold. He walked up his brothers, and his brothers put him in a hole. And they wanted to kill him. And Reuben said, no, you can't do that. And then they said, I got an idea. They saw a caravan going to Egypt. Let's sell him. Let's everybody make a profit off of him. Who does that with your brother? So they sold him. Now, 13 years later, Joseph's either been a slave or in prison of no fault of his own. Now, you read Genesis 45. We don't have time today. But I want you to understand is this. The spiritual Christian handles things the right way and has a sweet spirit, and his home is sweet, and his brothers and sisters are sweet. And if it's not, he's willing to go take care of it. Because Jesus saw you and I disobey him, rebel, curse, swear, do whatever we want. In Genesis 6:5, it says, and the thoughts and deeds of their heart were only evil continually. They got so bad, they never thought of God. They only thought of themselves. They only wanted to do what was wrong. They were wicked to the bone. And God says, I've got to do something about this. And only 8 apologized. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. You see, all of a sudden, here Joseph is for 13 years mulling over in his mind, they sold me as a slave. How many of us would have a good spirit after 13 years of being in prison and a slave? I want you to listen to one of the greatest responses to being mistreated in all the world. I want you to listen to this. Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. Now it's been another 20-something years, and his brothers never even apologized to him for selling him. He's put them up in Egypt, put them in the best of the land, been good to them, loved them. No one's ever apologized. And the dad keeps going to the 10 brothers and say, go tell your brother you're sorry. Dad's been telling us that. So instead of going to Joseph and saying, I'm sorry, they said, Daddy told us to come tell you we're sorry. Through all of that, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day and to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now that is a Christian. And today, everybody in this room, if you don't have a conflict today, you will. The question is, how will we handle it? Will we handle it like we're Christians of light, or will we handle it like we're Christians of darkness? 1 John chapter 2. We can handle it that way. The Lord loves you and I. And he said, I want you, Dave Pittman, to represent me well. So I've got to figure out the best way to go to those guys that drove in my yard, represent Christ, and try to get them to do the right thing. Why? Because every conflict is supposed to be settled in the eyes of God to please him. So Joseph said, look, you meant it for evil, but the Lord had it all planned. What a gracious response. I know, Barnabas, you were really mad at me, and you stuck your foot in the ground, but you know, hey, I was upset with you, and I'm sorry. One of those guys got together and said, look, I was wrong, I'm sorry, and they make peace. You know, today, I want to encourage you to do 2 things. Make peace with the Lord. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior today, there's a conflict. You may not be mocking him, but you may have just been a part of the next verse that says, and they departed, and said, we'll hear thee another day. You may just be putting it off, putting it off. How many of you, when you heard the gospel and got under conviction, you got saved that minute, that day, or you put it off? How many of you put it off? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Good night. Raise it up. Let us see it. Okay. That's the norm. How many of you trusted Christ the first minute when you realized, I'm lost, I need to get it settled. You were like Demarius, and you were like, raise your hand. Maybe 10, 12 of you, 15? And then there's the third party that has said, not today, I'm not. I don't believe this. The first thing I'd ask you to do is get it settled with Jesus Christ. If you haven't asked him to save you, settle it today. If there's something you're holding on in your heart before you and the Lord, come and tell him, I'm sorry, Lord. He'll forgive you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He delights in his children making things right. He'll bless you. And then maybe you're here and you've got an issue that's outstanding in your family or an outstanding in wherever it might be, at work, in the neighborhood. Could I encourage you to say, Lord, I'll settle it the way you want me to, so that you can have peace in your heart and God can use you as light. I'll close with this verse in Matthew. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, Matthew chapter 5. I want you to notice this verse, Matthew chapter 5. Notice, in verse 13, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, ye are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. You and I are the ones that, the way we handle conflicts points to Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would you purpose to get that settled best you can so that you can have peace in your heart? Today, I'd love for everybody in this room to walk out of here with peace. I'm going to get it settled. You can do it today. You can settle salvation with Christ. You can settle surrender with Christ. I'll give you my heart. I'll do what you want me to. And you can settle issues with other people, even here. Or you may not know exactly how, but you've promised the Lord you're going to take care of it. And I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I'm going to take my foot out of the ground. I'm not going to be determined. I'm not going to say he's not. I'll back up and say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Today, I want everybody in this room to leave here peace in your heart because you've done the right thing. This is family month. It's the last service on Sunday morning. If I could get people to resolve conflicts like Joseph did, oh, it could help change the view of Christians in your family. It might cause someone to be saved. Remember this, there is no issue in your life but that God is using it to let your light shine and represent him. That's what he does with us. Good, bad, and indifferent. If you get sold as a slave, God says, I can use it. If you get talked about, God says, I can use it. If you get hurt, God says, I can use it. Just handle it like your light. Today, will you do that? Let's be like Joseph. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning and ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Now, folks, it's the kind of a challenging message, but to have peace in your heart is worth more than the world. It's worth more than money in the world to have it settled with your heart. So if there's something between you and your mate or something between you and a brother or sister or something between you and a neighbor or something between you and a coworker, just promise the Lord I'll take care of it and take care of it and walk out of here with peace this morning. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, if I die today, I don't know, go to heaven. Would you come this morning? I promise I'll help you. And you can get eternal life settled this morning. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, we'd like to be a part of the church. If the Lord's kind of burdened my heart, we'd like to join the church. Pastor, we'd like to be baptized. Whatever the need is, you come this morning. Father, will you speak to hearts today? Lord, we need you to guide our steps. I pray just make us willing to put you first and to be light. Now speak to hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.